Nice to see everybody today that did not go camping. I tell you, that's one concept. And Peter and I were talking, and John and Ann and I were talking. That's one concept I really cannot get used to. If I'm going to do it, like I said, and I have done it like this, it's got four wheels. It had a shower. It had a refrigerator. It had a stove. AM, FM, stereo. So that is the way that I like to go camping. So, I can see that we're really kind of short today, and that's okay. Things will get back to normal here pretty soon. Thomas, if you would close that door, I appreciate it. So today, I'm going to start sharing from the book of Proverbs. Just a little bit about myself. I have in the past, excuse me, done some teaching. It's been quite a while since I've done a book like this in an exegetical manner. So it's just, and teaching is just like anything else. The more that you do it, the better that you get at it. Okay, you sharpen your skills, you hone your skills, whatever you do, whatever discipline you're in. So, saying that to say, just please be patient with me, because the more I give and the more I share, I'm sure the better it'll be. But first and foremost, it's not about me. It is about magnifying the Lord. It is about giving His word, and giving His word as He intends for you to have it. As He intends for me to give it. And I'm just like the rest of us. I'm just a tool. I'm just a servant doing what the Lord wills. And hopefully that will reflect the attitudes of all of us. So let me get started with a word of prayer. And then we'll just kind of dig into things. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You for Your word. Father, You have placed Your word above all things. Your word in Your name, You have placed above all things. And that tells us that it is something that is miraculous, something that is awesome, something that should be valued, and something that we should read and take heed to. And Father, as we look and we study in this book, I pray that that we all will be edified and that we all will be built up in exactly what Proverbs has to tell us. And these things I pray in the name of Your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. I remember once I was listening to John MacArthur do teaching on a certain book, and it might have been something like, doing God's will or the fruits of the Spirit. And he paused before he started, and he said that he had to truly reflect on what he was teaching to make sure that he himself was practicing what was being taught. And when I started doing this, I kind of started, I have a few different commentaries on the book. So I kind of started just reading the commentaries, thinking about how to present it, and thinking about what I could give to really, really, truly be edifying for myself and for everybody else. But I think that my approach was wrong. So I started reading more to look at it and reflect upon it in regards to my own heart. And doing that really kind of gave me a different perspective on exactly what I was reading. So, and that's something that we should always do when we think of whenever you read scripture. You may be reading to memorize, or you may be reading to counsel someone. But the objective is first to your heart and then you can apply it to some, help someone else apply it to their own. Okay? So, Proverbs is a part of wisdom literature. And the other books are Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Song of Solomon, Job. And we really don't hear too many ministers teach or preach on the book of Proverbs. At least you hear a lot of people that will quote certain verses from the book. But you hardly ever find a minister that'll start at chapter 1, verse 1, and go all the way to, let's say, what I plan to do, probably chapter 7. Because as you get to some of the higher wisdom chapters, interpretation is possible. It's just not very easy to do. And they're short, pithy, kind of salty sayings. And you can almost take them for as they are as you read them. But I thought when I was talking to the elders, and we were coming to the end of what Elder Rouse was teaching, I said, "Okay, I'll do a lesson." "Okay, what are you going to teach?" "Hey, how about Proverbs? How about First Peter? How about James or whatever?" But I'm glad that Proverbs really is what I settled on. Because Proverbs is a book that throughout the history of Israel, the reason for it is for people to read, to understand, and to live life in a very skillful and practical manner. I mean, let's face it, we come to church on Sunday, right? When we're out there working, whatever we do professionally to make a living, we don't communicate to people with our Bible in our hands. You know, we don't go around quoting scripture necessarily to people unless we're witnessing to them. So there comes a time in our lives, daily in our lives, where we really truly have to live in a very practical manner. And we have to live still in a wise manner, even though the manner is practical and sensible and full of common sense. We still have to gather that information through scripture. That is the basis for it, for all of it. So Proverbs was written by different authors. Solomon being the chief, because he was, as we know, gifted with wisdom from God. He was given the type of wisdom to know how to skillfully use the information that was given to him to understand it and to make decisions based on that information. Okay, and that really is kind of what people that are being taught in Proverbs, that's kind of what they're looking, what the objective should be. So let's take a look at chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1. And I'll read from verse 1 to verse 7. This is pretty much the preamble. And this kind of tells us exactly what the book is about. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the young, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. This is the book's title, and it's intended to cover the entire book of Proverbs, not just verse 1, or chapter 1. So these are the Proverbs of Solomon. Actually, Solomon's Proverbs are from chapter 1 to chapter 9. Then you get into some other writers. But proverbial sayings played an important role in Israel's clan life. From the beginning, it was conserving the culture, organizing, packaging, and communicating the lessons learned from observation and also painful experience. We know that Israel really had some really bad times. And a part of those bad times is meant for, as you're forward and present, looking back over the past, those bad times are meant for people to reflect upon. What did we do? What did we do wrong? What could have we done better? And that's the idea of having Proverbs, to give you words and give you history when necessary, and to cause you to look back and to reflect and to determine what you could have done better. But so Solomon, with his divinely gifted skills, collected all the various sayings for Israel. And Proverbs, once again, is the genre of the book. In the singular form, the word kind of covers a lot more than a wider range of forms in our English word. It could mean lessons or artistic instruction, and we'll see that pretty soon. And that those two terms are pretty close to our English equivalent. The word translated Proverbs also means similitude or likeness, which is the more common definition, to be like. So Proverbs, they're simple yet profound moral statements that teach realities about life. In the background setting, Proverbs has a threefold setting here in chapter 1. It is general wisdom, wisdom literature. It gives insight to the royal court. It is instruction offered to a son from a mother and father, and is designed to produce meditation on God. That's the objection of Proverbs. Wisdom literature is part of the whole Old Testament canon. The priest gave the law, the prophet gave the word from the Lord, and the sage or the wise man gave counsel. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, I just happen to have Jeremiah 18 up for whatever reason. Jeremiah chapter 18, and I'm looking at verse 18. And what we have here is the Lord is talking to Jeremiah. And God's warning is rejected by Israel, even after he said in verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at the clay in the potter's hands. So are you in my hand, O Israel. So the Lord does what he wants to do. But sometimes we can be really, really stubborn, right? We don't want the Lord to do what he wants to do. We want to do what we want to do. But the idea here is, in verse 18, then they said, come, let us devise plans against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. So the priest, the prophet, and the wise are really, truly lasting institutions in the economy of Israel. They were there, and they had a very influential position in the economy of Israel. So in Proverbs, Solomon gives advice on various issues of life that may not necessarily be given in the law or in the prophets. So he's teaching his son Rehoboam what he learned from his father David and his mother Bathsheba. And this is the setting, this is the environment of which this is given. So it was understood to be wise instructions to his son. But the book is far more reaching than just a king to a prince. In Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll turn there. Hebrews 12. And I really like this. This is just the far-reaching implications of God's word. It's just unending. So in Hebrews chapter 12, now the setting is David is instructing his son. His son is a prince. He's going to be king. He wants to teach him these wise things. He wants to teach him about Israel's history. He wants him to reflect on it and how that reflection could cause him to have a different behavior than those that were not necessarily obedient to God's truth. And it's one to one, one person to another person. But in Hebrews chapter 12, and what I want to get to is verse 5 and 6, but verse 5 is really what I'd like to see. As the writer of Hebrews talked about the race of faith, in verse 3, he says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted in bloodshed, striving against sin." And you have, in verse 5, and this is what I want to get at, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons." He's telling Israel that they have forgotten the exhortation that speaks to them as sons. And then he quotes Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, the disciplining of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." So what we have is Solomon giving exhortation to his son. But the writer of Hebrews is taking that exhortation and equating that to Israel as a whole. And that really is pretty amazing, because we kind of look at it as just this one conversation or this one lesson between a dad and a boy. But even in writing that, God had different intentions for that. Yes, it is a wonderful lesson for a boy from his dad, especially a boy that's going to be king of this great empire. But also, it is a wonderful lesson for all peoples in relationship to God as being disciplined or being treated as sons that he loves. Okay, so the Proverbs of Solomon, the son, the king of David, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. So this verse kind of summarizes the twofold purpose of the book. And the twofold purpose is expounded upon more thoroughly from verses 3 to 6. So verse 2 says, in these Proverbs that Solomon has given his son, he says to know, he wants him to know wisdom. I like to read it in this sense. To know skillful and godly wisdom and instruction. To discern and comprehend the words of understanding and insight. And this is the objective. And in the preamble, verses 3 to 6, it kind of gives you an idea of exactly how those insights and that understanding can be acquired to practice that godly, skillful wisdom. So what is wisdom? Is defined by Jim Neuheiser. It's the ability to do a skill, the ability to do a job. And we can find the same word translated wisdom here to describe the workers that prepared Aaron's garments and those who built the temple. So if we turn, if you want, or you can just make notes, Exodus chapter 28. And some of you may know where I'm going. I remember reading this a long time ago and thinking, that is really neat. The Lord just gave these skills to these people. How cool is that? So Exodus chapter 28 and verse 3. And I'll start at verse 1 just to set the context. So what's going on here is the Lord has given instructions on building the temple and doing different things. And these instructions are for the garments for the priesthood, for the priests. So 28 verse 1 says, now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that they may minister to me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, and Eleazar, and Ithamar. Verse 2, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. Now let's look at verse 3. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans. You see that word? Artisan, an artistic person, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. The Lord has filled them with the spirit of wisdom. It is the Lord that has given them this wisdom so they may do a skillful job. And in this specific, in particular instance, it is to make the garments for the priests. Once again, so you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. And he also talks about other artisans for building the building in chapter 31. Verse 1, he says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri and the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And look what he did with him. He says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works and works of gold and silver. We kind of see that nowadays too, don't we? Don't we see a lot of people that that are really good at making stuff. I mean, just think of some of the artists of old, the painters, the ones that do sculptures. Where does that come from? You know, wisdom, the ability to do things skillfully, it all originates from the Lord. So that particular word, to do a job skillfully, can be used in different aspects of life. It can be used as an artist doing clothing for a priest, and it can also be used as to believers being able to skillfully navigate the paths of life in a very sensible and common sense way, and while staying under the guise of Scripture. So in Proverbs, the skill is offered, the skill that is offered is the skill for living. It's not merely intellectual, but mainly it's moral. And the term denotes observation, obedience, careful planning, prudent conduct, and really what's most important is sensitivity to God's word. This is the basis for all of everything that we will see in Proverbs. To have that sensitivity to God's word, to have that insight into God's word. So once again, Proverbs teaches us how to live godly and skillfully in every area of our lives, just as God intended. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, and like I said, you guys don't have to bounce around. You can just make notes as you will, or however you want to do it, whichever is comfortable to you. Okay. Chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Okay, so Moses is commanding obedience here. He's talking to Israel. Excuse me. So chapter 5, he says, "Surely I have taught you the statutes, in judgment, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act accordingly to them in the land in which you go to prosper. Therefore, be careful to observe them. This is your wisdom, the statutes, the judgments that was given to Moses by the Lord to give to the children of Israel. Be careful to observe these judgments and statutes, because this is your wisdom. These statutes, these laws, this is the element that will allow you to live skillfully in performing the Lord's truth. Your wisdom and understanding in the sight of all peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people." So do you kind of see the ramifications there? What would happen if we went out into society and we exhibited the fruits of the Spirit? If we showed that unconditional love to each other, wouldn't that cause people to look towards us and magnify our God which is in heaven? So we're still doing that today. And Moses warned his followers, or the children of Israel. He said, "You look at these laws here. If you do this, this is going to be wisdom. This is going to reflect his wisdom for people all around." And by that, God can certainly get the glory. So to know this wisdom is to become conscious of and to become aware of it, to preserve or to perceive, I'm sorry, and realize experiences. So the personal internalization of experience of wisdom is intended. Okay? Read the word, perform it. The personal internalization of wisdom. And now when we look at the term instruction, that can, construction, where did I get that from? So when we look at the word instruction in this verse, it conveys the idea of learning through discipline. And the same Hebrew word is used by of chastening a child by a parent. You've heard the phrase, if you don't use a rod, you spoil the child. But let's go to it. Proverbs. Let's go to chapter 13. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And for those of us who have children, I've got a lot of them, and there really were there were no spoiled kids at my house, Victor. No spoiled kids at all. I'm just teasing, but in chapter 13, verse 24. It says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him, and he does it promptly. And that's a part of instruction. Why do we discipline our children? We discipline them because we love them. We want to correct some wayward behavior, some behavior that needs to be addressed. And quite frankly, that's what the Lord probably should do to all of us many times, but he is so gracious to allow us to give us time to correct things on our own by coming to him first. So that same Hebrew word for instruction is used by chastening as a parent and God training his covenant people. So we obtain instruction through reflecting on the sufferings of others. Okay? So when you look at Deuteronomy 11, chapter 11, verse 2, the Lord talks about disciplining Israel. So as we get this proverb today, we look back at that and we reflect on that. And we make our decisions in light of that history and what had happened to them. Boy, this time goes pretty fast, doesn't it? Okay, when we learn in this way, it's intended to prevent acts of folly. The Hebrew noun musar and the verb yesar have the double meaning of instruct, reprove, and chasten, beat. Boy, is that the only way I can learn? Do I have to be reproved all the time? Or do I have to be chastened and beat by the rod? I tell you. And once again, let's remember the setting. You have a dad talking to his son, too. So that has a lot to do with the way this is flowing. The responsibility to respond to instruction lies squarely on the child's shoulders. He must listen to it, as given in chapter 1, verse 8. He must accept it. In verse 3, he must love it. Chapter 12, verse 1. And prize it more highly than money. Chapter 4, verse 7. So this instruction that causes us to not practice folly should be something that we prize more than anything. Is there anything in this list that we can add to? Or is there anything that that they left out that we could say, oh, no, prize it more than this too. No, prize it more than, love it more than anything. Prize it highly above anything. The instruction that does not, that will not allow us to be ignorant, that will not allow folly in our lives. So once accepted, discipline springs from the power of internalized wisdom, not from New Year's, sporadic New Year's resolution. And this is something that the world does, right? Every New Year's Eve, I'm going to stop drinking so much as soon as I finish this 12-pack here. Or whatever it is, it's always something. It's losing weight, it's eating healthier, whatever it is. But when you do that, it's not really a matter of inward spirit. It's more of trying to coerce your will to do something. And the way the way Proverbs teaches it, once discipline is accepted, it springs from the power of internalized wisdom. In other words, we have that wisdom, and we know how to skillfully navigate the roads of life. And when we know skillfully how to navigate the roads of life, it makes things easier for us to be more disciplined, where we don't have to force our will to do something that we want to do. That it becomes just more of second nature for us because we are practicing wisdom. So we're not born with wisdom or become wise as we grow older. But the source of wisdom is God Himself. And it is gained by disciplined pursuit. How do we get this wisdom? How do we learn? God enables us to understand, which is a big, big element of wisdom. He enables us to have insight to His truth, which is a big, big element of wisdom. It's not just growing older. I think you've heard the idea of the old man that sits upon the hill. He's so wise. And he's got white hair, right? He's probably like bald right here and got long hair on the side and the back, long beard. And the idea behind that is this is an older guy. So he's really, really wise. But that's not necessarily so. You know, what happens is as we grow older, we experience things, you know, so we can give the benefit of our experience. And that kind of is what's happening here. Look back on Israel from the time of Proverbs to who's being taught and learn from that. But it's not necessarily just being old. You're old, so you have wisdom. You have to pursue it. You have to dedicate yourself to develop your wisdom. You have to dedicate yourself to develop your practice of living skill, being able to perform the word skillfully according to the Lord's desires. So we're not born with wisdom or become wise as we grow older, but the source of wisdom is God Himself. And it's gained by disciplined pursuit once again. In verse 7, the last part of the verse, it tells us that fools despise wisdom. And by nature, people are pretty lazy and foolish. And really, we need to be brought under the rule of our Father for our own good. Because otherwise, we wouldn't do it. And I'm going to go through, we've only got a short time left, and I'm going to do, try to finish this out. So, to discern the sayings of understanding. Understanding relates to intellectual discernment and interpretation. And the product of this intellectual discernment and interpretation is our words and our acts. Okay? Here it is related to the reason and intelligence applied to the content of the teaching that is given. It denotes the act of giving heed and considering something with the senses in such a way that understanding of that object takes place within. Let me read that again. It denotes the understanding here denotes the act of giving heed and considering something with the senses in such a way that understanding about the object takes place within. In other words, it is acquired and possessed, the object that is being spoken of or that is trying to be understood. So wisdom and instruction cannot be gained unless the hearer is able to understand. You got that? So the understanding has to be personalized and understood and accepted. And once the understanding is there, then we can move forward with skillful, godly living. You see progression there? Understanding is equated with a lot of elements that we'll find in Proverbs. It's equated with wisdom, equated with the fear of the Lord. And also the parallel in verse 2 shows that understanding is the substance of wisdom itself. And understanding and fear is brought together with in chapter 9, verse 10 of Proverbs. So there's always another element with wisdom that kind of highlights it and shows how we get to it. So for now, I think we'll stop and pick up next week. Don't think that I will be here next week, so Elder James Ross will probably pick up, and then I'll pick up in the weeks after that. But hopefully this was helpful and edifying. If you have any questions, you can ask me now or ask me later, whatever you feel comfortable with, and we'll close out the session with a prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the book of Proverbs. We pray that as we go through, that we pick out those wonderful morsels that will help us to live skillfully, to just live with common sense in everyday life. That's what we're asking. Father, we pray that we always walk in the Spirit. We pray that that we always reflect the love to each other that you have commanded us to do. But Father, we also pray that just on the practical side, that every day, just because your word is in our hearts, that we can navigate this life in a very skillful way, that we understand and we accept your truth. Father, that we pray that we have insight to know that when we're being instructed, either directly or by discipline, being disciplined, and that we respond to that as well. And thank you for this time. We pray that you bless this day, make it one that we all will walk away from, and keep whatever we learn in our hearts. And glorify you in the process. And these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen.